Let's read together Ezekiel chapter 44. In this chapter, the daily operation of the millennial temple is described, along with the function of the priests in the line of Zadok. Let's begin by reading the first four verses of this chapter. Then he brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary, which faces toward the east, but it was shut. And the Lord said to me, "This gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter by it, because the Lord God of Israel has entered by it. Therefore it shall be shut. As for the prince, because he is the prince, he may sit in it to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by way of the vestibule of the gateway and go out the same way." Also he brought me by way of the north gate to the front of the temple. So I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell on my face. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Ezekiel chapter 44, with some background notes. If you were to join us on one of our Holy Land tours, we would show you a walled-up gate in the eastern wall of the old city of Jerusalem, which is also the eastern wall of the Temple Mount. This gate is known as the Golden Gate, and many tour guides in Israel will tell you that this closed gate is the east gate of Ezekiel chapter 44, and thus evidence of fulfilled prophecy. Well, even though I would love to impress my tourists with such a presentation, I can't, because this present walled-up Golden Gate in Jerusalem's eastern wall is not the walled-up eastern gate of Ezekiel chapter 44. It can't be for several reasons. Number one, verse 2 says that the Lord entered this gate before it was shut, and the Lord never passed through the present Golden Gate. The present Golden Gate was not even there at the time of Christ. It was built later during Byzantine times and walled up during Crusader times. Number two, buried underneath the present Golden Gate, there is another earlier gate, which is also walled up. However, this cannot be the gate of Ezekiel 44 either, even if the Lord did pass through this earlier gate, because it doesn't line up with the location of the eastern wall as given in the detailed description of the temple complex in Ezekiel chapters 40 through 42. And that brings us to point number three. The walled-up eastern gate in Ezekiel chapter 44 is in the future millennial temple complex, not in the present eastern wall of the Temple Mount. And we've seen that there will be topographical changes in the Temple Mount before the much larger millennial temple complex can be built. So the eastern gate of Ezekiel chapter 44 is yet to be built, and thus yet to be closed. Notice, by the way, that verse 2 does not say the gate will be walled up, just shut and permanently closed. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for this chapter, Ezekiel chapter 44. Doctrinal point number one, the eastern gate and the prince have special significance during the millennium. The eastern gate and the prince have special significance during the millennium. Why will the future eastern gate of the future millennial temple be permanently closed? The end of verse 2 gives the answer, because the Lord God of Israel has entered by it. Therefore it shall be shut. When did the Lord God enter by this gate? Or when will the Lord God enter by this gate? Chapter 43 and verse 4 gives us the answer. And the glory of the Lord came into the temple by way of the gate, which faces toward the east. Ezekiel 43, verse 4. So the significance of the closed eastern gate is that the Lord has come to permanently dwell in the midst of his people. Remember back in Ezekiel chapters 10 and 11, we saw the glory of the Lord leave the temple and the temple complex by way of the eastern gate. But now the glory of the Lord has returned, never to leave again. So the eastern gate has special significance during the millennium, that thousand-year kingdom reign of Christ on this earth that's to come in the future. Now, what about the prince of verse 3 who sits in the gate and eats bread before the Lord, which seems to suggest participation in the fellowship or peace offerings. Who is this prince? It can't be the Lord himself, because chapter 45 and verse 22 says that the prince offers a sin offering for himself and the people. And chapter 46 and verse 16 says that the prince has sons. Well, is this prince the resurrected David, as some have suggested, who will rule the restored Israel under the millennial kingship of Christ? Here again, the fact that this prince offers a sin offering for himself and the people and has sons does not seem to suggest the resurrected David. Believers who have resurrected bodies during the millennium will not be offering sin offerings or having sons. So it seems that the prince here is the vice regent ruling restored Israel under Christ during the millennium. Notice that the prince here in Ezekiel chapter 44 sits in the gate. That is, in the inside portion of the gate complex. The gate of the city was always where official business was carried out. So sitting in the gate has to do with the government of Jerusalem and Israel during the millennial kingdom of Christ. The eastern gate and the prince have special significance during the millennium. Doctrinal point number two. The sons of Zadok have special status during the millennium. The sons of Zadok have special status during the millennium. Let's read from the rest of the chapter. In verses 5 through 8, Israel is rebuked for her sins of the sanctuary in the past, in view of the new temple to come in the future. And the Lord said to me, Son of man, mark well, see with your eyes and hear with your ears all that I say to you concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord and all its laws. Mark well who may enter the house and all who go out from the sanctuary. Now say to the rebellious, to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, O house of Israel, let us have no more of all your abominations. When you brought in foreigners, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to defile it, my house, and when you offered my food, the fat and the blood, then they broke my covenant because of all your abominations. And you have not kept charge of my holy things, but you have set others to keep charge of my sanctuary for you. In verses 9 through 14, we see that the apostasy of the Levites in the past in allowing idolatry into the temple courts will result in their lowered status in the future at the time of the millennial temple. Let's read from those verses. Ezekiel 44, verse 9. Thus says the Lord God, no foreigner, uncircumcised in heart or uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter my sanctuary, including any foreigner who is among the children of Israel. And the Levites who went far from me when Israel went astray, who strayed away from me after their idols, they shall bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary as gatekeepers of the house and ministers of the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to them, because they ministered to them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore, I have raised my hand in an oath against them, says the Lord God, that they shall bear their iniquity. And they shall not come near me to minister to me as priest, nor come near any of my holy things, nor into the most holy place. But they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. Nevertheless, I will make them keep charge of the temple for all its work and for all that has to be done in it. Now from verse 15 to the end of the chapter, we have the ministry of the sons of Zadok, who will be the priest during the millennial kingdom of Christ. Let's read from these verses. Verse 15. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood, says the Lord God. Verse 19. When they go out to the outer court to the people, they shall take off their garments in which they have ministered, leave them in the holy chambers, and put on other garments. Verse 20. They shall neither shave their heads nor let their hair grow long, but they shall keep their hair well trimmed. Verse 22. They shall not take as wife a widow or a divorced woman, but take virgins of the descendants of the house of Israel, or widows of priests. Verse 23, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Verse 25, they shall not defile themselves by coming near a dead person, only for father or mother, for son or daughter, for brother or unmarried sister, may they defile themselves. Verse 28, it shall be in regard to their inheritance, that I am their inheritance. You shall give them no possession in Israel, for I am their possession. And verse 31, the priest shall not eat anything, bird or beast, that died naturally or was torn. We see that the sons of Zadok are awarded the priesthood during the millennium because they remained faithful to David and to the Lord during the times of rebellion by Absalom and also by Adonijah. You can read about these days of trouble in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and 1 Kings chapters 1 and 2. God rewards faithfulness then and today. Now, in these verses, we read of the regulations and requirements and duties for these priests during the millennial kingdom. Notice that we don't read of a high priest in this chapter, because the Lord himself is both king and priest in the millennial kingdom. Now, how the sons of Zadok will be known and chosen from among the other Levites at that time, we don't know. Whether or not DNA studies will be used, we can't say. But the Lord will know. The sons of Zadok have special status during the millennium. What about practical application from Ezekiel chapter 44? As priests today, let us teach the way of holiness. As priests today, let us teach the way of holiness. Notice here in verses 23 and 24 of Ezekiel chapter 44, what some of the responsibilities of the sons of Zadok will be during the millennium. Let's read those verses once again, verses 23 and 24. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. In controversy, they shall stand as judges and judge it according to my judgments. They shall keep my laws and my statutes, Ezekiel chapter 44, verses 23 and 24. As priests, the sons of Zadok will teach the people the way of holiness. They will do it by word of mouth and by way of life that is in obedience to the word of God. And they will be called on to judge in disputes, and they will do so in line with God's holy standards. Now, certainly there is an application here for us today. As believers, we are priests and part of a holy and royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2. We have a responsibility to teach the way of holiness in what we say and in how we live and in the judgments that we make. Let me ask you, how are we doing? Would the average onlooker think of you as a priest of the most holy God? As priests today, let us teach the way of holiness.